You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It is the Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio, coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans studio. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Going to be talking to David Sampson, CBS Sports HQ MLB analyst, about the latest in Major League Baseball. Of course, Manny Machado signing with the Padres, Bryce Harper, and where he may wind up if he's ever going to sign with a team that's ever going to happen. And be speaking to him shortly. I had said I was done talking about the Robert Kraft situation. I'll let one more person get in on that on CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Hey, everyone, here's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Do you need homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance too? Get it all at geico.com. Mike in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Mike, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Mike?
Robin, how you doing, buddy?
Good, man.
I'm glad you're ending that segment because you're going to get those kind of callers all day. You know what I mean? It summed up to two things. First of all, it was stupidity on Kraft's part. And Goodell will come down on him when this all is come out with a fine and a suspension. They'll never be able to prove that he knew about the sex trafficking. That's on the owners of the place. All right, let's forget about that. Let me ask you about Bryce Harper. I used to be in Philadelphia. And I used to go to the Phillies games. Do you think they need to have the highest paid player in baseball to contend for a World Series title?
Do I think, if you're asking me that question in a vacuum, of course not. No, I don't think any team needs the highest paid player in baseball to contend for a World Series title. I think it depends on who the highest paid player in baseball is, right? And one of the issues, I believe, with Bryce Harper is the market had been set by players in the past, and therefore that's the market he's going after. Yet, people are a little wary of those contracts that were signed, and Bryce Harper, to me, is not Albert Pujols or Alex Rodriguez.
Well, the last time I followed those big contracts, I remember, because I'm a Yankee fan, I'm from New York, I remember A-Rod getting the big contract, and then it kind of moved to the Yankees. He had some good years in the beginning of that contract, but they only won one title, and the year they did win the title, 2009, he barely didn't contribute, and then it just kind of
That's categorically false. He was amazing that year, in the playoffs especially. He was incredible that year.
All right. Well, there's so much that I try to cover. Anyway, I'm hoping that the Phillies get pitching. I think that's what they need more than Bryce Harper, especially with this new manager they have. He's only going to be there his second year now, and I think people need to stop being so negative. You know what I mean? It just. The show this morning, I wanted to listen to all of it, and I'm glad you cut off what it was because I'm like, come on, man. I look forward to your Saturday mornings. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, I appreciate it, man. Bryce Harper, there's a difference between, in my mind, Alex Rodriguez and Albert Pujols and Bryce Harper, and even those guys, their contracts, you know, are looked back on, and people say, whoa, you know, 10 years or whatever it was. It's not the money to me in a non-salary cap league. It's more the length of time. On the deals and Alex Rodriguez, you know, whatever you think of the way his tenure ended with the Yankees and some of the stuff that went on, I it's hard for me to judge that as anything less than a success from a baseball standpoint. And when you say only one World Series, that's relative to the history of the Yankees, right? Like most people would be happy with one World Series and A-Rod. In fact, The 2009 year is the one thing that improved his reputation, because his reputation would have been as a great player who wasn't able to come through in crunch time and a cheater. And the fact that he had the 2009 playoffs really changes his reputation, because you look at the ALDS that year, he was 455 batting average, 500 on base, 1,000 slugging. Same in the ALCS, it was 429 batting average, 567 slugging, 567 on base percentage. So he wasn't as good in the World Series. He still had a 550 slugging and a 423 on base percentage in the World Series, but he was epic in that playoff run for the New York Yankees. But now you're dealing with Bryce Harper, and of the two, you know, Machado and Harper, I actually would make the argument Machado's the better player, at least from a consistency standpoint and the position he plays. Now, Bryce Harper's highs have been incredibly high. His year in 2015, astronomically good. His year in 2017, incredibly good. But where I would have some concern is the years that are sandwiched in between there. You know, in 2016, he was okay. But not, certainly not MVP caliber, and really barely all-star caliber. In 2018, this past year, same deal. He was okay. I mean, he had the power numbers. So he was good. He had a good year, but he did not have the kind of year he had the year before or the kind of year he had 2 years before. So in, you know, two of the last 4 years, I would say he has been worth the contract demands he's asking and perhaps, you know, one of the five best players in the sport. In two of the last 4 years, he has not been. And that is where maybe the delay is coming from with Bryce Harper, because, you know, the demands are what they are given. And I'm not saying he's wrong for pursuing that level of contract. I'm not saying his agent is wrong for pursuing that level of contract. I'm just saying I understand why the teams may not be in a race to hand those out. Now, we've seen Machado sign, and that was interesting in the sense that the Padres are not a marquee franchise. It's not the kind of place you think he's going to go on to be a bigger star. It sort of came out of nowhere. And there's an argument to be made that Machado sort of traded his relevancy for the contract amount. At the same time, they apparently have the best farm system in the entire sport. And, you know, he's not old. Neither of these guys is old. And that's why the length of the contract maybe is a little less important than it has been in the past, because you're not dealing with guys who are way past their prime or anything. Or theoretically shouldn't be. What is Bryce Harper, 26 years old? Machado in his mid-20s as well? So theoretically, that contract should run through the rest of his prime, and it's any contract beyond that where Machado would really fall off. So if you're San Diego, perhaps the thinking is, or I'm guessing the thinking is, hey, let's lock this guy up. You know, he's, I think, 26th all-time in wins above replacement through age 25 seasons. So, I mean, he's a really good player. Lock this guy up, and by the time our prospects come around, then all of a sudden, you know, we're going to be in business, and you know, this is our chance to get somebody like him in the lineup when you never know when you're going to get that chance again. So I'm assuming that's the thought process behind what the Padres are doing. For Machado, obviously, the money factors in, and it's probably the number one factor, but there's a little bit of concern you would have to have about your relevancy, at least in the meantime. Because baseball players, look, they're not moving the needle that much in general. I mean, how many, in a sense, it's been good because Machado and Harper are talked about a lot, and that's kept the news cycle going for them. How many baseball players are on that level, right? Like, how many baseball players are more famous than Kirk Cousins, who's a middle-of-the-road NFL quarterback? How many baseball players are more famous than Jason Tatum? You know, like, I'm just picking out a known NBA player, but not LeBron James or Steph Curry. It's only a handful of guys, I really think. A handful. And Machado and Harper are getting to that level because of this. So in that sense, that it's helped their name recognition to a degree. Let's go to Jared in Pennsylvania. Jared, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's going on, Jared?
Hey, good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
So I'm a Phillies fan, and, you know, I'd like to see Bryce Harper, and I think he'd bring a lot to the table. I was just wondering, though, a quick question for you. Do you think at this point, like, there's coming out pretty much every single day. There's one day where the Phillies are leading, another day the Nationals are back. The Nationals came out yesterday and said they haven't talked to him in months. And then you have stories of San Diego going after him. Like, do you think at this point, two questions for you. Number one, do you think at this point that Philadelphia is still the front runner? And, like, if you had to make a prediction, what would you say right now? And number two, do you think Philadelphia is almost bidding against themselves at this point?
You know, I have no idea because sometimes these moves are not public, right? And they happen.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of times the biggest trades and the biggest signings can come out of nowhere. As Lil Wayne once said, real G's move in silence like lasagna. So there could be that case going on. But if I had to bet, I would still go with Philadelphia, of course, because they've been the team that's been linked to Harper the longest. You know, apparently their owner, Middleton, is in Las Vegas for a meet and greet with them now. So there's too much smoke around Philadelphia for there not to be something, and I haven't really heard about any other team, right? So if you're asking me to make my prediction, it would be the Phillies. At that same time, I wouldn't be shocked if some team came out of nowhere.
And where would you put, let's say Philadelphia does land Bryce Harper. Listen, Philadelphia picked up a lot of studs this offseason, and you know, we were good last year. We fell apart towards the end, but we have Aaron Nola and, you know, our bullpen is strong. Like, if they get Bryce Harper, where would you – do you think they're World Series contenders?
World Series contenders? Let me look at their – let me look a little closer at their numbers from a year ago before I just jump to a – I mean, they were 80-82 with a negative run differential. They have improved the team a bit. I don't know if I would jump straight to World Series contenders. I would say, I suppose in baseball, if you get to the playoffs, though, you are World Series contenders. But that's been changing a little bit. It's been changing. You know, baseball had been the most crapshoot of a sport, really, when it came to who could actually win the championship. And all of a sudden, it's moving more like the other sports are, where you have a bunch of truly elite teams that are head and shoulders above the rest. And last year, that was the case, right? Last year, the Red Sox and the Yankees and the Astros were really significant. And the Indians, I think, and the A's with Atlanta and Milwaukee, you know, and the Dodgers. Those teams were head and shoulders above everybody else. Can Philly get themselves into that stratosphere? They'd be on their way to that. I'll talk to David Sampson, CBS Sports HQ MLB analyst, about Bryce Harper's situation coming up next here on The Robin Lundberg Show on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to The Robin Lundberg Show.
It is The Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio. You got to bring the horns in. Where are the horns? Come on. You speed up the track. Where are the horns? Here we go. Oh, no, we're not even going to get to the horns on the instrumental. That just looped. Sorry. Sorry about that. Sorry about that, big boy and Outkast. Speaker box, half of the Love Below. To transition somehow from speaker box and the Love Below to baseball, here's what I will do for you. I will say that of that, there's the horns, the dueling albums there, the slugging percentage was greater on the Love Below. Andre 3000's half. The best songs were greater. But the on-base percentage was greater on Big Boy's half of Speaker Box. I often like to use on-base percentage and slugging percentage to evaluate albums. And now I can segue to Mr. David Sampson, CBS Sports HQ MLB analyst. What do you think of my album rating system using on-base percentage and slugging percentage, David?
I think it's one of the great segues of all time, and I've only heard one. So that's my frame of reference.
There you go. All right. Let's talk about Major League Baseball in reality now and the situation with Bryce Harper. Do you think this has gone on for as long as it has because teams are wary of the deal he's demanding, given that he's had, you know, when you talk about slugging percentage, he's had great seasons. You know, in 2015, he was great. In 2017, he was great. But when you're talking about on-base percentage, it hasn't been as consistent in 2016. And last year, he wasn't quite at that level.
Well, last year, remember, he stopped hitting for average. His power remained, but all of this launch angle stuff that's going on in baseball and everyone waiting around for the three-run home run, you know, when Bryce Harper was at his best, he's a gap-to-gap hitter, and the power just is there. And the problem with this offseason is he just had a different idea of what he was going to get. When he sat down with his agent years and years ago, he dreamt about this day and this offseason, and it just hasn't gone as planned. because I think he put himself in a stratosphere that I just don't think any team is at. And he's now down to Philadelphia, and that's it.
So you really think that the Phillies are the only team? There's not a team that's lurking and being quiet. It's the Phillies bidding against themselves, or Bryce Harper negotiating against himself?
I think the Phillies are the only team that there's a chance that they will spend the stupid money, quote-unquote, that is required to get Harper to say yes. And the reason why he has not said yes so far is no one's hit the bid yet. And John Middleton is reportedly in Vegas right now meeting with him. And the only question is, will he give? Will he be the latest owner to give in to Scott Boras and bail out Scott Boras? I hope not, but I get the weird feeling that it's going to happen.
So let's say, for the sake of argument, it doesn't. Is there a number that you think Boras and Harper feel that they have to hit to sort of avoid embarrassment?
Well, that's a great question. I love when you frame it that way. Can you imagine telling your player that you're going to be embarrassed to get $300 million? It just doesn't make sense to me. And that was what the Nationals offered, and now they're not offering anymore. The White Sox aren't offering. The Giants, I do not believe, will go to that number. And he wants to beat Stanton. I've said it till I'm blue in the face. He was told by his agent that he will beat 325. He wanted 10 years, $326 million at a minimum. And I just don't think that Philly will ever get there. Will they beat Machado? That's the new question. And I don't think Harper will settle for anything under Machado.
Robin Lundberg talking to David Sampson, CBS Sports HQ MLB analyst here on CBS Sports Radio. Let's move to the deal that is done, the Machado deal. What was your read on that? I mean, from both sides. To me, it obviously the money is great for Machado, but he may be trading in a little relevancy, at least in the short term. Meanwhile, I suppose the plan for the Padres has to be that they don't necessarily believe a player of his caliber is going to be available often, so they want to lock him up now for when their farm system comes home to roost.
Well, we always say that. When I ran a team for 18 years, it was always this current player, he's a generational player. There'll never be another one like it. And then the next season, there's another one, and then another one. So at one point, you just make your decision. What happened with Machado is his agent is Dan Lozano. And Dan Lozano under-promised and over-delivered, which is the exact opposite of what Scott Boras does, who over-promises and then under-delivers. So they wanted $300 million, and they didn't think they'd get it. They had the offer from the White Sox that was outstanding at $240, $260 million, maybe even up to $275. But the minute San Diego agreed to go to $300, which I don't think they should have done, but the minute they did, he became a Padre. But that press conference yesterday was a little disingenuous to me because I wanted Machado just to admit they were the highest offer. Don't tell me they have the best farm system or the best weather or a great owner or a great GM, a great sales and marketing department. I don't want to hear that. Just be honest. They offered me the most money and I took it, and I think people would respect that more than what he said.
For how much attention has been paid to these two guys, how much do you think where they land is actually going to change the dynamics of what the results of next season are?
Yeah, it's not like basketball. And here's the thing that I talk about a lot. When LeBron James decided to sign with the Heat and brought Chris Bosh and you had Dwayne Wade, you know that they were going to compete for and likely win titles. Baseball's not that. You can't sign a Machado and say you're going to win the World Series or a Harper or even a Scherzer or a Kershaw. Anybody like that, there's not one player who can bring a World Series title. There's not one player who moves the needle in terms of season tickets and everything else. You need to put together a full team. So the question is, can the Padres build a team around Machado? And now they're spending a lot of money on position players between Hosmer, Will Myers, and Manny Machado. Will they have money left to get pitching? That's the question.
A question I have is regarding Rob Manfred, because in the fallout from all of this, he seems to really be spinning it a certain way. And all of a sudden, I'm hearing more about labor unrest in Major League Baseball. And for, I'm almost always on the player sides of any dispute because, as much as fans like to, balk at it, the players are much more like the typical person than the owner is like the typical person. Yet we see these kind of deals that are doled out in baseball, and I wonder what's wrong. Like, well, what do you think is wrong with the system? Why would there be unhappiness from either side?
Yeah, I'm not sure players are like the typical people. How many people? How many employees where you work, you know, have an average salary of $4 million?
Oh, no, I'm not saying they're like. I'm saying they're more like. It's more analogous. What the players are doing is more analogous to what you're doing than what the owners are doing being analogous to what you're doing. But both are way out of, you know, the norm, of course.
Right. It's just totally crazy. To me, fans don't, and corporate partners of baseball, they don't want to hear Rob Manfred and Tony Clark go back and forth with all the off-the-field stuff. They want the focus to be on the field, and that's where it should be. But Rob's doing his job as commissioner, representing the 30 owners. His job is to keep labor costs down. But by the way, that's the CEO of every company's job, including the head of CBS Sports, the head of CBS. Everyone's trying to keep payroll down and keep your talent for as little as possible, right? That's the goal. You didn't get to walk in when you did your contract and name your price. They could have told you to pound sand.
Yeah.
So, everybody does his job. Tony Clark's job is to get the most money for the players. Rob Manfred's job is to give them the least money. And somewhere in the middle is where you have a deal, like with airline pilots and the people who own airlines. So it's very, very normal what's going on right now. There is an adjustment in the market. And it's not that there – I don't think there should be a strike or a lockout, but the problem is there's so much talk about it that it sometimes becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy.
For anyone out there listening, my price, 10 years, $300 million. David, I really appreciate your time today.
You'd work any shift for that, right?
Yeah, go back to overnights for that one. I don't know. Actually, no, my philosophy, David, is not everything is worth the money, but we'll got to see how much money it is.
By the way, it's a great philosophy. There's a lot of players who make decisions. Look what A-Rod did when he went to Texas. He thought it would be great. The Texas team would turn around. They gave him $250 million. They'd build around him, and it would have a happy ending. There was no Robert Kraft situation with Alex Rodriguez in Texas.
Oh, so you went there. I wasn't sure if you were going to go there with it. You went there with it.
Well, listen, it's in the news. We're going to go there. We might as well go there. It's 8:30 in the morning on a Saturday.
Dave,
what else would we be talking about?
I already talked about it for a couple hours, dude. Appreciate your time this morning, man. Thanks.
Hey, take care. Thank you.
You're listening to The Robin Lundberg Show.
Dancing. Seriously, though, I am. I was kind of dancing there. Robin Lundberg Show, CBS Sports Radio. I want to transition to the fallout from Zion's shoe and what ensued. But I was just talking a little baseball, and Kevin from the Bay Area wants to weigh in, and I like to make sure I get everybody involved if I can. Kevin, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's going on?
Hey, man. Thanks for taking the call. So I wanted to talk as a Phillies fan, even though I'm on the left coast, born and raised in Philly like all the sports teams. I was excited to hear what my owner said, that money is no problem and let's spend some stupid money. So if I'm Matt Klentak, the GM of the Philadelphia Phillies, what I would have did, and I've never seen this done in any sports, and maybe this won't happen because of personalities, I would have went out to every blue chip or above average player that was a free agent, and I'd have went to them and I'd have asked them to sign over, write down a number, what they want, and I'd write them a check for it for however many years they were looking for, as long as they'd sign a no trade clause. And once I had AJ Pollock, a third baseman that signed with the Braves, up and down the line, we would have had 15, maybe 20 guys. We would have spent an enormous amount of money, including Mr. Harper, as well as Machado. Then the rest of the Major League Baseball is at our beck and call, as now I can trade these guys out for blue chip prospects to come, and maybe we eat some of the money. Maybe that's never been done before because no owner in their right mind would want to spend that amount of money. But when my owner tells me I'm ready to spend a stupid amount of money, let's do that. I mean, it's the same concept of course this is juvenile, but it's the same concept I would dominate my family in Monopoly, right? I go out and get as many assets as possible.
I'm with you, Kevin. I mean, I never understand why anyone is concerned about an owner's pockets. You know, they're basically endless. So, yes, if you're in the interest of winning, now there's stupid spending and there's smart spending, but at the same time, you'll never hear me 1 million times ever years. Would I say in a million years earlier today? In a million years, you'll never hear me worried about an owner's pockets. So I'm with you there. I wouldn't say my owner. I just don't like that phrasing. It's the owner of the team I root for or something like that. Yeah, I'm with the sentiment of what you're saying. But as I said before, transitioning from players who get paid a lot to players who get paid nothing. right before the Duke North Carolina game, this is before the shoe exploded, I did a take about Zion Williamson being a massive draw, making $0. And of course, the framing for that was what they were charging to get into the building. And I understand, guys, that Duke is not making the profits on the secondary ticket market or any of that stuff, right? Like, I'm not an idiot. But it still shows you the demand for what Zion is as a star and attraction. I think the secondary ticket market's up like 178% for Duke games this year. I mean, who have we seen at Duke games this year? LeBron James, Jay-Z, President Obama. Who was that? Who else was there the other? Ken Griffey Jr. Two Chainz.
Spike Lee.
I mean, the list goes on and on and on. They have been events this year. This Duke team is the best thing to happen to college basketball almost that I can remember. You know, I remember being a kid rocking the baggy shorts and pretending to be the Fab Five out in the street. That was when I was a young kid. Since then, this is probably the biggest thing I can remember for college basketball. Not like forgetting like isolated games, or but like as a singular attraction and story. Because it's Duke already. Duke was already of all the teams that are going to move the needle. They were already there. And you're putting an NBA star on their roster. Because Zion Williamson is an NBA superstar playing in college. And I'm not even talking about what he winds up doing at the NBA level. We don't know. That's still open, you know, for debate. We will see that next season. But he is an NBA superstar in his status, and he is playing in college. And as a result, you are, you know, seeing, obviously, the attention is higher. I promise you the merchandise sales are higher. I promise you the concession sales are higher. And what was already a major industry. The NCAA tournament itself is a billion-dollar industry. So it did, at the time, reinforce to me, and I said this before he got hurt, before there was any question about whether he should play, this is a massive draw making $0. There's a problem there. And, you know, whenever you talk about the problem with college athletics, it's hard when you don't have the exact solution. You know, my best offer at that is some sort of commission system where a percent is taken and distributed amongst the players. But they should be in on the profits. And I know you hear, but they got a free tuition. Guys, you are not them. Stop bringing up that argument. It's so disingenuous. It really is. It's so disingenuous, the tuition thing. Yes, it would have helped you. It would have helped me, right? You know, there are a lot of people dealing with student loans. It would have helped to not have to pay to go to college. Duh. But that's not what these guys' situation is. Their situation is not what our situation was. So stop pretending you're anything like them or it's anywhere near analogous. Duke did not recruit Zion Williamson or RJ Barrett or Cam Reddish so they could go to class. Those guys did not go to Duke for the education. And I'm not casting judgment on either side in that sense. That's just the nature of the transaction is different than the nature of the transaction you or I may have made. The game is the game. So the tuition thing is it's just a garbage argument. At the same time, the NBA's rule is garbage, too. I don't want to leave the NBA scot-free in this because a player like Zion, that might actually apply to him more than the college aspect of it. The college aspect of it probably applies more to, you know, some of the other guys out there. And all the guys out there, really, to be honest, especially at the big programs. But the NBA's one-and-done rule, that reportedly is going to be changed and needs to be changed. Because there is zero reason someone who's ready to play professionally should not be allowed to go straight from high school to the pros. So, all that said, you had what happened in that game. Within 30 seconds, Zion's shoe explodes, which is only going to add to his legend, to be honest. It was a bad look for Nike. Not something they can't recover from. I've only seen, I've seen two shoes explode, Zion Williamson's and Manu Ginobili's. Ginobili's happened in 2014. They were both Nikes. Now, that could be to them having more product on the market and more people wearing them, so the chances are just greater. But it's not a great look, especially when you're looking at the next sought-after sneaker prospect. But the commercial for Zion's first shoe deal does itself, does it not? We are the, whether it's Nike or Puma or Adidas or whomever, we are the company that built the shoe that could contain the power of his foot. Because that was some Incredible Hulk-ish. Like Bruce Banner's foot turning green and busting through the brown loafers. So that only adds to Zion's legend and appeal. The problem was he got hurt on the play. Now, luckily, it was just a minor knee sprain. And, you know, he should be back in a couple of days, a couple of weeks at most. That's the silver lining to it. But, of course, in the moment, the discussion became, should he ever play another game at Duke or in college? Considering he's going to be the number one pick in the NBA draft and he's risking his health and his money situation. I think he has an insurance policy out for loss value worth about $8 million. But, of course, he'll make a lot more than that in his NBA career, including on his first deal. Then you factor in the shoe deals, and it's just way more than that. And I understand that reaction, to be honest. I do. I understand the logic in it as well. You know, it's pretty easy to see the argument for why he should never step foot and play a college game again. I would play if I were him, though. And I never tell anybody else what they should do. As like an edict or anything like that, that's his decision. I would understand if he decided, hey, I never want to play another game. But I would play and advise him to play if I were advising him. Because, as I just mentioned, the system is broken. There is no doubt about it. The college, amateur, athletic, student, athlete system, whatever you want to call it, is broken. The NBA's one-and-done rule is broken. All that needs to be addressed. With that said, Zion is in that system. And from his own mouth, he apparently is enjoying his time. He has spent a year playing with his teammates. And he's only going to get this chance one time. You know, who knows if the NCAA tournament will be what the NCAA tournament even is 10 years from now, given some of these factors. But what it is right now and what it has been is a moment in sports. And life is about moments, and he's only going to get to experience that moment once. So I think he should go for it, especially because I also say fear is not a great motivator for decision-making in general. I wouldn't advise big decisions to be made out of fear that something may happen. That's just me. So I can both acknowledge that the system is broken and that I think Zion should come back and play at the same time. But it became such a story because this guy has been such a story. I mean, you are talking about the biggest prospect at this point, at least as far as hype goes, since LeBron James. I mean, who else has been talked about, has reached this level of notoriety and star power? Zion is so popular, people are rooting for Duke. You know, Duke's supposed to be the team that a lot of people hate. I don't think anybody hates Duke right now. Or they got to try to. Because he's fun to watch, there's just an energy about him, and there's that palpable excitement around those games. You got Hove sitting courtside in Pittsburgh on a random Tuesday. You got the most recent former president of the United States at your game. It's a big deal. It's a big deal. He's a big deal. What did you make of Zion's shoe and what ensued? Should he play? Was it an overreaction? Is it what was needed to happen in a sense to continue the conversation about the bigger overall subject? See, I think that would have happened anyway. I think it's going to happen on an annual basis every time you see how much the NCAA tournament's worth. And you see what these coaches make. You know, because Coach K and Roy Williams, they're making plenty of money. That said, he's in that system, and I think he should go for it. I think he should experience that moment. There is something, you know, unique about being a part of it, even if what you're a part of isn't necessarily sustainable or right. 855-212-4227. 855-212-4227. What do you think of Zion and the talk about him sitting out at Duke, which he seems to have already, you know, squashed. So I don't think that's even something that will happen. But you had a lot of people saying he should, including a lot of NBA guys. I mean, what did DeMarcus Cousins say? He was, you know, a fan of his college time, but now where he's at, it's BS. And I think it was Trey Young, who just was recently in college, and Donovan Mitchell and Isaiah Thomas and a bunch of other guys saying, hey, you shouldn't play again. Don't mess up the money. Don't mess up your standing in the draft and where you are right now. You can only go down. You can't go up. And that's coming from guys who went through that experience and now are at the pro level. It's interesting. Just because that you know, you're tying in the current hottest sports star of the moment with a lingering debate. Because that's now on the, you know, I talk about the Sports Talk Radio Greatest Hits album, and you have LeBron versus Jordan, and you have steroids in baseball / Pete Rose, and you have paying college athletes, you know, and on and on. You can keep going, but it's one of the tracks. It's an album cut on the Sports Talk Radio Greatest Hits album. 855-212-4227. It's the Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.